know, each of the four gospel writers has its own distinct personality and voice and focus. And if I were to describe each of the gospels in a word, I would say that first, that Matthew is the teacher. Matthew includes more parables than any of the other gospel writers. Matthew also quotes the Old Testament more, and he traces Jesus' lineage back to Abraham. Matthew hammers home that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that made by the patriarchs and the prophets. Now Mark is the journalist. Some of you are like be old enough like me to remember Jack Webb from Dragnet, just the facts man. Well, that's Mark, just the facts, with little commentary. But he will add observant details that others omit. For instance, Mark is the only one who tells us that Jesus' head was on a cushion when he was in the boat asleep during the storm. And Mark's the only one that tells us that the grass was green during the feeding of the 5,000. Now Luke is the den mother, all-inviting, all-inclusive. And he traces Jesus' roots past Abraham, all the way to Adam. Luke is the only gospel who gives us the mercy-rich parables of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. Luke also, unlike the others, spotlights stories around women and non-Jews and presents them as faithful disciples to be emulated. Now, the gospel writer John has the least in common with any of the others. John is the outlier. John is, call him the hippie. He is groovy-licious. John traces Jesus beyond Adam to the beginning of anything and everything. John doesn't have a single parable in it. He leaves out the temptation, the transfiguration, even the Last Supper. John realizes that describing the divine requires more than what the eye can see and the hand touch. John uses symbolism, metaphor, and poetry, revealing a Jesus who wants to engage our imagination. And today we have a sample of that when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the resurrection and the life. Now you may remember that when Moses asked God for what his name was, that God said, "I am who I am." So John very cleverly connects Yahweh, I am who I am, to Jesus with his I am statements. Several years ago, I taught seventh graders about the I am statements, and I asked the students to come up with their own I am statement about themselves. And I was really impressed with how poetic and insightful. One student, with a lot of energy and pizzazz, said, "I am the bounce in the ball." A quiet, thoughtful student said, "I am the silence in the night." And another student, with plenty of self-confidence, said, "I am the sun that shines on all the world." Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life, and it is a bold and brash statement. He claims not just to have what we need, but to be what we hunger for. Now, both scripture and our Episcopal liturgy prayer book are full of food, the stories from Eden, Exodus and Easter all tell of people who hunger and are confused by what food will fill them up. And the world certainly offers its own menu of wealth and dominance and self-sufficiency and physical perfection, a diet promised to satisfy our deepest needs for happiness, peace, and love. And Jesus speaks to these same gnawing hungers. And the ongoing struggle of faith is choosing your bread, discovering and deciding which bread has the power to save and which does not. Now, when I was in the seventh grade, I had a teacher, Mrs. Walker, who taught, wasn't even algebra, it was like pre-algebra. And most of my friends were in algebra. And I was in a rowdier class. None of us were particularly good at math. And Miss Walker was a woman who went to church on Sunday. And to get us in line sometimes required her to get loud. And on Monday she would say to us, "Now calm down. I don't want to lose my communion on Monday." She had a very high theology of communion. She understood that when she took the bread and the wine, that it changed her. It gave her some special gifts and power to make her more like Jesus. By Wednesday or Thursday, she lost her communion. C.S. Lewis wrote that Christianity's whole offer is this: if we let God have his way, we can share in the life of Christ. Jesus came to the world and became human in order to spread to all humanity the kind of life he has. We can share a life which was begotten, not made, which always existed and always will exist. Lewis writes, "Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian," he says, "is simply nothing else." But John doesn't tell us how to be a little Christ. That is St. Paul's specialty. Paul lays it out in our reading from Ephesians today. "Put away falsehood. Speak the truth to our neighbors. Be angry, but do not sin. Let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is bringing grace to others. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, and slander, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God. Live in love as Christ loved us." Imagine if everyone from priest to plumbers to politicians agreed with Paul. Jesus is the bread we hunger for, the staple of life that nourishes and flourishes within us. We come to the altar and eat of the body of Christ to give us strength and solace, yes, but perhaps more. More because the proverbial "you are what you eat" applies. We must keep eating the mystery placed in our hands at the altar until one day it dawns on us, I am the body of Christ now in the world. Our own "I am" statements can be as brash as Jesus's was. "I am loved by the Creator of the universe. I am called to do great things in small ways. I am forgiven. I am needed and am valued. I am at peace. I am not alone. I am included and embraced. I am never beyond hope. I am whole, whole despite my broken pieces and aging parts. I am satisfied." Imagine that, Jesus says. Imagine that.
comment.